Alrighty, guys, so a quick disclaimer before this episode starts, this inaugural episode of the Silver Cronies podcast. It's the first episode, so we're still figuring out some kinks with, microphones and whatnot. So some of the audio, but basically my audio for the whole episode is going to sound really weird. I apologize. We'll fix this next episode, but nevertheless, enjoy. You are now listening to the Silver's Cronies podcast as presented to you by Zach Collins Hair Gel.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Silver's Cronies podcast, the one and only NBA podcast on the internet. This first episode is brought to you by Zach Collins Hair Gel. I am your host, James, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Jake and Steve. Now, before we get into today's topics of our NBA playoffs, first-round commentary, we're going to start with some brief introductions. Jake, take it away.
Hello, I'm Jake, and, my co-host will have you convinced that my main personality trait is that I am a Sixers fan.
It is.
There is no other characteristics to me. But trust me, I am much, much more than that. And it's like a cute little Tinder matchmaker or whatever, how we decided to format this. But my player comp is Patrick Beverley from Real Toxic.
Patrick Beverley.
But when it comes to pool ball, I'm LeBron.
pool basketball.
That's the real circuit here.
Who's your favorite player, Jake?
My favorite player is Ben Simmons.
And who's your least favorite player?
Ben Simmons.
All right, Steve.
Hello, I'm Steve. I am a naturally born Pistons fan. It's kind of rough, but I get through it. My basketball comp, as some may say, is Larry Bird.
Of course.
Those are on the good days, and we only talk about the good days, so we're not going to worry about the other possible.
There are no bad days.
There are no bad days in the gym. It's only good for me. So we go with Larry Bird. My favorite player right now would be Isaiah Stewart of the Pistons. And my least favorite player, it's hard to say. There are quite a few that I dislike, but I'd say Russell Westbrook is up there for sure.
Not Hero.
As one of them. Now, Tyler Hero isn't as bad just because he doesn't get as much attention anymore as Westbrook. So,
fair.
All right, so last but not least, I'm James. I am a passionate Timberwolves fan.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. I'm ready to get roasted. So my player comp is Draymond Green. Notably, once almost got kicked out of a summer league basketball game. I'm not even going to talk about that, dude. My favorite player, Zach Collins. Don't
it's
ask.
Such an odd favorite player too.
It and is.
I hope.
I mean, you're my favorite player of all time, Jake. Is Joel Anthony? So
that's true.
I mean, can we really say anything here?
Nestled in the lore of our friend group is Which that Joel Anthony is the GOAT.
We'll find a way to introduce properly sometime, maybe over the off season. But
my least favorite player is Tingus Pingus, Kristaps Porzingis.
Relatable and topical,
dude. Very topical.
We shall get to that later, though.
I definitely want to talk about that. I have it pulled up, what he said. So, going to go over round one of the playoffs. Have this basically sectioned off by the most interesting ones and least interesting ones. So,
they're all interesting in their own special way.
Some
not months. The Sixers except and
for,
Wizards.
Except no. for Celtics Nets.
Celtics Nets is
well,
maybe
that's interesting because we had some of the fan controversies.
That's true. That's true.
Off the court stuff.
So this is the one I want to talk about. Bucks versus Heat.
Wow.
Heat culture.
Heat culture.
Yeah, I mean, clearly we were all told that by many that the bubble wasn't a fluke, that the Heat really were this team. But, I mean, let's be real. That's how they played. They were terrible this series. Their stars didn't show up.
No.
And the Bucks did. I mean, they were seeking revenge. They didn't shy away from the Heat.
The Bryn Forbes outscored Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's just something that can't happen. I mean, you can't have your star being outscored by a role player for the Bucks.
I think it was Bryn Forbes had 60 points. Jimmy Butler in like 58.
Yeah, it's, you can't have that happen. That's crazy.
Stupidly locked in. He was stupidly locked in.
Dude.
Maybe if you got 8 hours of sleep.
Dude, that Instagram picture. That Instagram picture was maybe the most intimidating thing I've ever seen of all time.
Yeah, whatever.
Dude, he looked just jacked.
Yeah. Just did he get banned from the Heat practice facility?
No, but I know who did.
What's up?
Joel Anthony.
Once again, story for a later time.
The amount of Joel Anthony references.
Okay, wait. No, this is what I want to talk about. So, Brooke Lopez. My love-hate relationship with Brooke Lopez.
We might as well.
We're acting like there's a love there.
I want to tell it. Okay, because Brooke Lopez, like, he's not bad. He's not bad, but I just can't like him. And it's for personal reasons. So,
and what's that reason?
It's like
James?
2017. I went to Disney World. And like 2017, 2018. And I was getting on the Pirates of the Caribbean. It was extra magic hour. So we were there like super, super late. So there was like no one there. And I'm waiting in the line, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this tall, 7-foot man walking by. And I like the Timberwolves, but my second favorite team is kind of the Nets, because that was the first ever basketball game I went to. First ever jersey I bought was a Brooke Lopez jersey. So Brooke Lopez was kind of like Liddy in my eyes. And then this was like, I think this was right around or right before Los Angeles, Brooke Lopez. So it was like before he fell off.
First image, Los Angeles, Brooke Lopez.
Yeah. So I see him walking with like a guide or something. I'm like, holy crap. Like, I literally grab my dad and we run out. And I'm like, I didn't even ask for, like, I was going to ask for a picture, but I didn't even ask. I was like, Brooke Lopez, like Brooke. I'm like, I'm such a huge fan. Like, I've loved you since Brooklyn. And he looks at me, and he's like, no picture. And then he walks away. And I was like, but he's like, no picture. And then he walks away. And I was devastated. So I've not been rooting for Brooke Lopez. But with that said, he did play really well.
Now we are very much anti-Brooke Lopez.
Brooke Lopez, yeah.
Definitely on the Brolo hate train.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, honestly, like, he had some good game. Like, what they do really well with him is he really, like, spaces the floor, because he can hit the three. He can also, like, go on the inside. And what that did is that, because they were dropping Bam back, because Bam wasn't playing much on the perimeter. So, basically, Miami got, like, caught in this, like, pseudo-man zone.
Yeah. And it kind of, like, it makes Budenholzer look smart for once.
It does.
I'm very insistent on it. I full-heartedly believe that Milwaukee will win a championship with Giannis. Full-heartedly.
I believe it.
I mean, that's going to happen, though. Budenholzer would have to go.
Oh, for sure. He is embarrassing.
But I think if they don't win a championship this year, I'm not sure if they will.
No, they will.
Because I just think, like right now, the situation is looking really well with, of course, like, just murdering the Heat. Was it a sweep? I think it was a sweep, right?
It was a sweep.
I just wanted to make sure. No, the Celtics was the one that was 4-1. I got that mixed up.
And the Sixers.
Swept the Heat. Sixers, Embiid is, like, on and off. The Nets with Harden's hamstring injury. Who knows how long that's going to be. Like, if they don't win now, I'm not sure, like, once all those guys are healthy, if they're still going to actually
The Nets have to win at least once. Like, there's no way they don't.
I feel like the Nets in Milwaukee. It's, like, kind of make it or break it this year.
Not with the Nets. I feel like it's more with the Sixers because
– I don't think so. I think the Sixers kind of still have the new coach, new system.
Yeah, you could – that's fair. But, like, the Nets, they have a couple years, though, with Harden. How long is Harden under contract?
I don't know.
I think he's under for a couple more years.
He's still on his Houston contract.
He's going to sign the extension with him.
And we've never seen this much talent on one team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Durant and Kyrie, they still have 2 years.
Yeah, he has 2 years after this one.
I mean, and they're going to figure it out.
They're good. I think they've already.
They've already figured it out.
They're so dominant. And
dude,
they clearly have some chemistry issues. They're only going to get better.
I've never liked. Okay, and I guess And I guess because basically Bucks and Heat, not much to talk about. So we can just kind of transition this to Celtics.
One thing talk about, though, is I saw that Butler reportedly wanted the max extension from the Heat. And I pulled it up. He would be receiving $50.3 million in 2025-26.
He'd be 36. And receiving $50 million.
I mean, I don't see how the Heat could possibly do that.
I think they're going to do it. I think what's going to shoot them in the foot is the Victor Oladipo contract.
They're going to have $87 million wrapped up with just Bam Adebayo and Butler if he takes that in the last year of that deal.
You can't say Jimmy Butler doesn't deserve that.
It's not about deserving it, but it's more so about it's
like protecting your cap space, because they were supposed to have all this cap space to sign a star.
Yeah, if he signs that, they're going to have nothing left because they have Bam.
Victor Oladipo definitely hurt them. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%. Pat Riley is probably going to sign and look at the mindset like of we have a title window now, and we're just going to have to suck it up.
Well, the big problem with that is, and people brought this – people were talking about this whenever with the Harden trade, and they're right. This is their title window. Their title window is as long as Jimmy Butler's prime is, and it's probably not going to be for much longer. He's even acknowledged that. So, you know, they're trying to keep too much stock with these young guys who, first off, didn't even perform these playoffs. They were terrible.
I want to talk about that too. Pat Blanch.
And
R.I.P. Bosa.
And it's just hard when, you know, even when your star player isn't, and they could have gotten a guy like Harden or, you know, anybody else that may have been on the block, and they opted really not to over guys who played worse than general role players do.
Do you believe that? That they didn't want to trade Tyler Herro.
I think so. I think they do.
They
give Pat Riley more credit.
Trey Young.
Yeah, they probably think that he's way better than he actually is, which is the problem.
Right. I remember in October, you told me actually, like, you think Tyler Herro is terrible.
I do.
Before the season started. I remember telling that. I'm like,
and wait, hold up. Because with that said, I'm going to bring it right now. Tyler Herro could still put me in a gym and like give me a 50 piece, like 50 to nothing easy.
Of course, we're talking about this in like, context of the NBA.
In the context of the NBA, I don't know. Like, there's something about just the game that doesn't really translate for me.
Yeah. I didn't like him because he panders, I'm going to be delicate here, to a certain audience. And I think it's, I don't even have to say it. Like,
hype beasts.
Know. Yeah.
Like that hype beast culture. Yes. Like with, and like, I think that was definitely solidified with the rap song.
Yeah. Furkan like Korkmaz with a song.
especially with the fact that he had like it was like Jack Harlow, like the hot thing at that specific time. And I think this was the point you were kind of getting at. I think he kind of like panders to like all of the big baller brand fans that have nowhere to go now because the big baller brand is no more.
What a direction.
That's true.
Like that, like hype. No, because think about it. Like big baller brand brought this weird subset of like NBA fan.
Not even fans, just stands. They're not even, they don't really care about the NBA. They're just concerned about, you know, one or two people. And not even so more as like just regular guys, like, oh, you know, I like following LeBron where they go. No, it's just straight up like that's their whole personality. It's not so much they like him, it's just that's their personality and there's nothing else.
Was big baller brand the birth of stan culture?
No.
There's definitely stuff before it, but it certainly hasn't helped for the NBA, that's for sure.
Big baller brand is far from the birth of stan culture.
Yeah. Okay. So next up, we're going to go Celtics versus Nets.
Are we done with Bucks Heat? Because I want to.
Yeah. I mean, actually, there's no, not I don't much more to talk about there.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the unnamed Heat center. He's not on the team anymore.
Yeah. I think that I put that down in the notes just from like, it's just like the long line of just like crap the Heat has gone through this season. Like as an organization, like they had all the injuries to begin with, the disappointing, and because this kind of racks my brain, because like when you watch him play, like especially in the playoffs, like Tyler Herro looked like he had a really disappointing season, but statistically he had a better sophomore season than his
It's just season. That
it's people were expecting him to be something else.
They refused to trade him for James Harden, who, in my opinion, is the second best player in the league.
Yeah, he's up there. Yeah, but yeah, like the specific Heat center who is not with the team anymore that shall not be named.
Yeah,
he's just a bad guy. We don't need to shed much light on him. We all know by now.
I'm just gonna say this: people that were surprised when all that came out are genuinely blind.
I mean, I don't know how anybody was surprised by that. Everybody had their sneaking suspicions. I mean, it was pretty clear after the bubble.
I think we all knew.
We just needed the true evidence.
Yeah.
And he gave it to us.
All right. So next up, Celtics versus Nets. I want to talk about, even though he is injured, I want to talk about Jeff Green. Because I love Jeff Green.
So yeah. the No Dunks podcast says that if you only watch Jeff Green highlights, you think he'd be one of the top five basketball players of all time.
Oh, 100%.
He has one of the best highlight packages I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, his highlights are amazing.
Yeah. If you just saw those, you would think he's a top five.
And he's one of those
players.
Guys where it feels like he's been on every single team in the league.
He's been on quite a few.
Austin
Rivers.
Yeah, but Jeff Green's been in the league forever.
He said he wants to play more seasons than Vince Carter, and I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah, I know. He's such a tantalizing player.
Like, dude, especially –
without knowing what tantalizing –
especially when, like, Kyrie and Harden were out, or, like, when Kyrie and KD, or, like, when two of the Nets big three were out. He was, like, kind of, like, one of the guys.
One of the boys.
No, like, one of the guys. And, like, I just think – I think it's so interesting, especially – and like the small ball era, where like you have bigs like Embiid and Kat and Jokic who are like so dominant, but who are also guards, kind of seeing like a smaller guy who's not that like ball dominant off the dribble, just kind of does his role well and can guard those taller guys.
Honestly, Jeff Green, throwing it back a little. One of the unheralded aspects of LeBron's run to the finals where they got swept by
Golden State. Was Jeff Green. Dude, he was awesome in Cleveland.
Yeah, I know. Maybe the reason they made the finals.
Certainly up there. Jeff Green's so old, he played in Seattle.
Yeah, you're right.
People don't realize that. And he's 34 still. I mean, I don't want to say only 34, but it certainly seems like he's much older than that.
They'll make it to 50.
I mean, the Celtics, that's real. We all knew the only way the Celtics were taking a game in the series is if Tatum went off for 50.
Which
he did. He did. And they couldn't replicate
that. And they took that game.
I mean, Kemba is, I don't know, something's up with him.
Yeah, first good move Michael Jordan's made as a Hornets owner.
It sure seems like it.
Kemba Walker.
Was Michael Jordan just playing the long game and we're all stupid?
He might have been because, I mean, Kemba was just terrible in this series. I mean, it seems like he couldn't hit anything. He shot 32% from the field, 17 from three. I mean, you can't have that from Kemba, especially with how much they give him the ball.
Oh, he's so bad. And I wonder what newly minted Celtics GM Brad Stevens does about the whole situation. Because, A, they have no depth.
I think
– no consistent depth at – their bench is bad.
I'd say put everyone –
I think the problem with Ainge is that Ainge put way too much stock in some of these younger guys to think that they would actually do something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Really,
and then they gave up all their draft
picks. None of them have really done much, except for, like, Grant Williams just being a force defensively. I mean, outside of that, they just haven't really done that much.
Like, Romeo Langford
– Romeo Langford's big joke was whether or not he was alive for most of the season.
Romeo Langford might be a conspiracy theory.
At this point, it's amazing.
Why don't they play Taco Fall? Why don't they play Taco Fall? Dude, Taco Fall in the right system could literally be just like an unstoppable force.
Quotes like that are going to be the reason why people are going to clown on this podcast.
Yeah.
I will stand by
as
that.
Why doesn't Taco Fall get rotational minutes? I mean, as much as everybody loves Taco, I'm sure it's like the Boban effect. As good as he can be sometimes, there are also just those moments where it doesn't seem like, you know, they're great at basketball at all.
But he can run the floor. Like, it's not like Boban where he moves at, like, two speed.
I don't think that necessarily
Taco Fall
here. I will
be a
Taco Fall apologist
until I die.
That's fair, but they did have a few better players to play on the floor
than
Taco.
You and Mr. and Mrs. Fall.
Yes.
Pretty
much. Taco Fall fan club. All right.
We put also, as a note for this one, why is Blake Griffin dunking such a big deal?
I don't really know because I see a lot of this, and everybody I've seen on Pistons Twitter, or at least most of them, we don't care that much. Like, I don't care that Blake Griffin's dunking. I pretty much knew he could in Detroit. He just didn't do it. And I think part of that is that the offense was run through him. Now he's just playing a rim-running role, which is let's face it, it's much easier to do that than being a ball-dominant
forward. You very much dislike Blake Griffin now, right?
Not for how he played in Detroit, but so much him coming back as part of the Nets and, like, starting stuff and getting – he got Isaiah Stewart ejected and was, like, trying to start fights with everyone. That part I hate. I respect him a great deal for what he did. He's totally sacrificed his body to get swept.
He had arguably his best season in 2019.
No, he did have his best season. That was his best season he's ever had in the game of basketball. And I don't think he's ever going to have one like that again. And he laid his body on the line. He sacrificed it all. I'm not gonna like shit on him.
Blake Griffin at center though on this Nets lineup.
I mean
the problem is that it is
Claxton's better.
Defensively, he can't rotate as much defensively.
See, I say the opposite because, like, from what I've seen defensively, like, when they're putting up, like, again, he's guarding, like, Time Lord. But when he's going, like, even in the regular season, when he's going up against, like, a lot of bigs in the post, his post defense is really, really good.
I don't agree with that.
I don't really think so. I mean, I know that it's clear that he's more invested on the defensive end than he ever was in Detroit. But even then, he was never that great. I mean,
what?
Giannis dominated against him.
Yeah, but I'm talking about post defense. Talk about the against round, like traditional fives, like Brook Lopez.
I mean, in the first series, his defensive rating was 121, and I know a part of that is the high pace that they played in that, but that was still the third worst on the team of, like, actual minutes getters. Only Kyrie and Joe Harris were behind him, and they should be. I mean, Nick Claxton was only behind Jeff Green in terms of the
league. We all know that it's very, very obvious that the one problem with this Nets team is their defense. They haven't had the time to work out that chemistry.
But, I think the other thing, though, is that it's clear their strategy is if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to score 150 points.
Yeah, that's the we've never seen this one.
That's not a bad strategy to have. I don't think.
Does Dinwiddie stay on the team?
No, Dinwiddie's hurt.
No, like when he comes
I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
Because I just like we still have like a place, I guess.
I think so. His role initially was even coming off the bench with Kyrie.
Yeah. I mean, Mike James is not an undrafted free agent. They signed him as a free agent with like a month left in the season, and he has a prominent role in the team.
I think Dinwiddie would make him even better.
Yeah. So Dinwiddie's a very good player. Yeah.
So kind of moving on to the Celtics side of things. The Celtics need Jaylen Brown
It was obvious that he was at least their second best player, and there were times he was the best player this year, but I mean surely late in the season Tatum, you know, even with Brown hurt, you could see
lost his mind at the end of the year.
He was playing better than Brown ever was.
How many 50-point games did Tatum have in the past like month of the season?
He was amazing.
He had three or four.
Yeah, he had a bunch of 50-point games. I mean,
Tatum was remarkable. He was just great. He made an All-NBA case at the end of the year.
Yeah, Tatum was crazy, but it's just Jaylen Brown was their most consistently good guy.
And how can – okay, the question is how are you going to build around Tatum? Will Kemba be back? How will you establish front court?
I say you put everyone – on the trading block, except for Kemba. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Because you can make a case next year, Tatum could be a top 10 player.
Yeah, like even though, like as much as I like Marcus Smart, and I think he definitely brings something. He was one of the more like shining spots in the Celtics this year. I think they may need him to like make like a Time Lord trade or like an Evan Fournier trade kind of work.
Yeah, the Evan Fournier experiment didn't really work out.
No, it didn't. It was I don't get what like was it just like locker room stuff? Like that's what I'm kind of getting from that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think it was just the product of him not really fitting in well with the team, just on the floor. Kind of seemed like he was out of place for a lot of it.
Yeah, it was awkward at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, he was fine a little bit during the playoffs. I just think, I mean, certainly to start it wasn't great for them. The other thing with the Celtics is they need a center. They need a big man.
They do.
Tristan Thompson isn't cutting it, nor anybody else.
I don't know where they go in that Trout, do they trade?
They're going to have to make a trade. I mean,
I don't know what Brad's
doing. Well, if you'd ask every Celtics fan ever, they're getting Karl Anthony Towns every offseason.
Or Miles Turner. They were
getting somebody.
Dude, Miles Turner would have been such a good fit.
Oh, yeah. The Pacers fans love him.
The problem is it's so hard for me to like anybody in a Celtics jersey. Like, I don't want to envision them in it because I just don't like it.
Yeah,
I don't like anybody. The only people I can envision are Celtics players.
I could only wonder if other GMs are now looking at Brad Stevens like barbecue chicken. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I know that he's going to have – I know that he's technically not the GM. Like, he's the president
of basketball ops.
I mean, I know that his – obviously his decisions won't be – I don't want to say final. Like, I'm sure they're going to be group efforts there. Like, they're going to vote on stuff and kind of have a more, like, a consensus on what to do, you know, between him and the GM and whoever the new coach is, who's probably going to be Jason Kidd, from what it seems like.
God. That'll be a disaster.
But, yeah, I mean,
I think Jason Kidd's going to stay for the Lakers job.
I don't think so. I don't think Vogel's going to be gone,
though. This could just
be
me being a Sixers fan, but I think Sam Cassell – after this year, he'll be hired somewhere. Whether it be
I think
Portland
Sam Cassell's a good coach.
If it's not Becky Hammon, I'm gonna riot.
I don't want Becky to go to Boston though, because I want her to be.
Oh,
in
I want
that,
Becky Hammon to go.
I want her as much as I want to see Celtics fans or some of them at least go crazy over it. I also want her to be in a place that I actually can root for.
As much as I want to see conservative grifters lose their mind over it.
Yeah, like, see, I also want to be able to root for that team. I don't want to have to root against her because I really hope she succeeds. She's been deserving of a role. And maybe she just stays because maybe, you know, I think there's nothing else she could have basically been told. Listen, whenever Pop retires, I guess told by Pop whenever he retires, you know, she's the next in line. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if she'd rather just stay for that job in the system that she's already comfortable with and still able to learn from Pop with.
Much like an Eric Bieniemy situation.
So, yeah, it could be, you know, it'll be, we'll have to see what happens there. We'll have to see if she, I mean, it'll be pretty clear this offseason if she doesn't leave that she's probably just going to stick around for that job. Because we know Tim Duncan was there, but he didn't really want it at all. So, who else better than her who's already there on the bench?
Yeah, Tim Duncan's not in the coaching staff anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going
to. No, he left.
I honestly don't think that they're going to want Becky to leave that. I think they're going to want to keep her.
That's my only concern is that Becky's going to stay. So she, like what I think with Jason Kidd, like she's kind of eyeing up like that next big coaching position once.
But I mean, I think hers is just going to be staying with the Spurs. And you even see like there have been times in both in the bubble and this year that Pop has kind of let her or other coaches coach. So
I think
that he's just preparing her straight for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we are now about to enter the segment of this podcast where Jake rants about the Sixers for 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, Sixers
running
Wizards.
Overtime. We're running overtime already, pretty much.
That's not true.
Sixers Wizards.
We're gonna.
Okay. You want me to? Go?
I want
okay.
Take it away.
A lot of what I will discuss about the Sixers on this thing will be the Ben Simmons discourse that exists, and it seems like a lot of the discourse around him is that he's either shit or he's amazing, and. I know it seems like I'm the most biased Sixers fan in the world. I don't
you
think
are.
Ben Simmons is incredibly elite. Like, I don't think he's, like, otherworldly. He has the potential to be otherworldly. Like, we
like
saw
Doc Rivers said it well. He's not a 40-point-per-game scorer, but he's, like
– No, and here's what I saw. I forget who said it, but I think it was great in that what the problem, though, here, and we kind of saw it in this series, is Doc is focusing way too much on what Simmons can do, and – Everybody already knows that, but the Wizards clearly found what Ben Simmons
can't do.
And that's the problem because
NBA fans need to focus on what he can do, because what he can do, he could do.
I mean, I think that's been, besides just straight up trolls, I think the general consensus on him is he's pretty good, but can be way better. Like, I think
what
everybody knows he's a great
February,
playmaker. He's a great
special.
Playmaker. He's a great defender. I mean, I don't think that he necessarily has to be Steph Curry, but I think having a jump shot for him, even if it's just a mid-range shot, that would be huge. That'd be huge for him.
I mean,
and being able to open up. And especially it's hard whenever you're playing, though, with a guy like Embiid who is – I mean, of course, he's also a great shooter outside, and he stepped that up this year. But Embiid's such a force down low, and that's where he – I mean, that's where he just feasts on everybody is being able to go down to the post, being able to draw fouls, whether people like it or not. He can draw fouls, and that's what he does well. And he's able to just beat guys down and get post shots. So I think it's hard just whenever – I mean, you know Simmons is going to drive. You've kind of seen it with LeBron in the playoffs. He wasn't able to drive and be able to do what he does well. And I think that's a problem is that that's what Simmons does well. He's able to drive and dish out. And it's,
watching the Sixers, it seems there are times where he refuses – there's times where he's looking – you could very clearly tell when he's looking to drive and when he's looking to dish it out to the open man. And – it'll be like a quarterly thing, you know, it'll go by quarter. And like, it's very predictable at times. And that could very much hurt the Sixers as they go into the second round. That's what concerns me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, certainly listen, Ben Simmons isn't, he's not terrible just because he can't shoot, but I mean, he certainly needs to have that sort of skill in this game.
But
just
he's
to,
no Robin
I mean,
Lopez.
You've seen it with Giannis. He still can't shoot the three, but he's been able to get his mid-range down just enough to where it's hard. You can't just leave him out there anymore. You have to at least guard him a little
but
bit.
But he doesn't have the Robin Lopez hook shot.
Nobody has a Robin Lopez hook shot. No.
Yes.
That was a sight to behold.
He's the embodiment of Kareem.
How many points did Robin Lopez have in game four?
Pulling up the game logs right now.
No,
he had 16. He had 16 in game four. He was 8 of 11 on his shots.
Dude, that's efficient.
That is efficient.
Okay, Jake.
Yeah, he was really, really good with
but not
with
as efficient
shot.
As Frank Kaminsky and the Suns blowout.
I remember during the
We're
preseason.
Not there just yet.
I will remember during the preseason when the Pistons had a game against the it was against the Wizards in the preseason, and I just remember seeing Robin Lopez playing, and I'm like, man, something with him playing just doesn't look right. It doesn't look natural, but he did the same thing.
Happen.
He was doing the same thing. He was just hitting a bunch of these crazy hook shots and getting them to fall. That's what he said. Robin Lopez knows exactly what type of basketball player he is. He knows exactly what he has to do. I mean, he's the embodiment of a perfect role player. He's a guy you would want on any team.
Yes.
He's not the best guy
on
the
contrary of us being anti-Brolo, we are very pro.
Robin Lopez is amazing, and I don't care what anyone says about it. He may look like the worst basketball player you've ever seen, but you just saw him. He really does. He looks like he might be the worst basketball player ever, but he is so good. He knows exactly how to control his body. He knows exactly what moves he can and can't do.
If they ran a hook shot every single play, they're a championship
They'd win.
Team.
They probably
win.
Would be. I mean, he's amazing. I think
so now. So before we get on the ones that like we kind of skip through, I really want to get through Suns versus Lakers.
That has to be towards the end, though. I mean, that's one of
the
top two series. So we got to get through.
So do we want to do?
I mean, Hawks Knicks is pretty.
Oh, what
simple.
We haven't discussed yet about Sixers Wizards are the real playoff P and playoff A. Which
playoff Anthony Tolliver. See, here's the thing. Is Anthony Tolliver is in the same exact realm as Joel Anthony for us. There's a whole – I guess there's a
we'll
whole –
We'll make
more.
A list.
We can put it out. We'll have to – there will obviously be a future episode that will explain all this. So if you ever hear these references in the future, it'll be way easier to understand. But there's a certain lore and liking that we have for Joel Anthony, Anthony Tolliver, but any other player both genuine and for joking reasons. Like, it's not just a joke.
They're genuinely underappreciated.
This is genuine. Yeah. This is genuine liking from us to these guys. So playoff A is Anthony Tolliver.
He made an appearance
for the Sixers. He made an appearance.
Or game two.
And of course, playoff P is none other than Paul Reed, the real playoff P. straight out the mud, as he says.
Out the mud.
The king of Sixers Twitter. B-ball Paul.
B-ball Paul. So yeah, they got some minutes. They got some run.
Yeah, B-ball Paul got some significant.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe there's a few injuries, and one of the two gets plopped in and has the big
and that was
game.
Surprising.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully
that was
not.
Surprising
but
because
of
Doc Rivers, like notoriously just never playing rookies, especially in playoffs.
He's notoriously stubborn.
That him and Maxey, like the Maxey more so.
Oh, I'm so shocked Maxey's getting run in the playoffs. I mean, initially he wasn't because Shake Milton. I love Shane Milton, but he's been so bad. And I was shocked to see Maxey take his minutes because we know how stubborn Doc is. And yeah. Maxey came in, and to his credit, he was amazing.
Yeah. He did what needed to be done. They needed a facilitating.
He was a spark plug. He was electric. He got to the basket.
Yeah.
And he energized the crowd and the team, it looked like, in game five.
Yeah, so I think Sixers are looking very deadly.
All right, so then I guess we should move on, you know, to the Hawks Knicks next on. And
okay.
We kind of all know, I mean, Trae Young absolutely lit it up.
I'm going to be completely honest. I really didn't care about this series.
You kind of see after game, even game two, game three, that the Hawks were just controlling this series.
Yeah.
Like,
and
this was a series in which I gained some satisfaction. I love Julius Randle. I think he's great. But
oh my god.
This is for me a series, James. In which I, you know, even though he didn't win the most improved award and he beat out Jeremy Grant, this kind of validated it for me. This let me know that he really deserved it, because Randle was terrible. I mean, there's no sugarcoating this. He was god awful. Everything, even just, I think his whole solution was just, you know, he saw shots weren't falling, so he was like, I'll shoot some more. And he still wasn't having them drop. I mean, I don't know if this was just jitter trauma or nervousness.
But, do we have a Steve Rand in here?
You know, I'm sure that, you know, after the first couple games, you know, maybe he's just, you know, you hear guys, you know, their first kind of playoff games like that, they're just nervous in front of the home crowd. They have to live up to expectations.
Did anyone expect them to go far? Because I never did.
I think people thought maybe they could.
I think that making the playoffs. I think that making the playoffs is as much as a win as anything, especially for like the Knicks, because like the Knicks are just, there's just always been the Knicks.
I think we should hang a banner in Little Caesars Arena that says, I'll put the championship banners that says Julius Randle played bad.
Yes.
In the first
yes. Round. And now here's my problem is, and the problem with this is that it's the most improved award, you know, and this isn't about, it's about the most improved player. You know, that's all it is. Most improved. And you can kind of see this year, even years past, it's been made like this. It's like, I don't want to say narratives, because I hate when people say there's a narrative for everything. But I think that they kind of try, and they do this with a lot of awards. They've done this with Rookie of the Year awards. I mean, certainly it's like this with MVP, is that they put such a focus on winning for some of these awards, especially for ones that they don't need to be.
I think winning should matter a lot for MVP. But...
For MVP, sure. I mean, I think MVP, yes, think winning does too. Matter. I don't think
most
that,
improved
I don't think that there are really much
should be the empty, most statistical award.
Like, I don't think that there are much empty stats with you know, with any players, but I do think that, you know, some mean more than others, and the winning team certainly better stats matter more than others. But with most improved, let's face it, why does this have to be an award in which, you know, Randle improved, surely. I mean, he evolved from just being, I don't want to say just a guy, because he was still great in the past couple of years, both with New York and New Orleans.
He evolved from
but
being...
he evolved into a guy that they can rely on, a guy that could carry them. I mean, sure, in the playoffs he faltered, but he was able to carry them. But
he reached his potential.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean – I don't think that necessarily has to be the most improved. Because Jeremy Grant went from a role player. People were laughing at the contract that he was given. And he went to a number one option for the Pistons, you know, a guy who was getting some all-star consideration. I don't think anybody thought he was going to get into the game just because there were so many great players in the front court for the East. But the fact that he went from just a role player off the bench for Denver to being a number one option and a potential building block for the future for the Pistons is amazing. I don't think anybody saw that coming. I certainly didn't. I would have been happy with just the production that he's kept up with
Denver.
Anyways,
Julius Randle is our most improved player of the year. And let's move on to Trae Young's villain character.
I wasn't done.
Okay.
I never said I was done.
Dude, that
No, but off. I just think that's a general problem right now. Is that they make it so much about...
I don't think this was Hawks versus Pistons.
I never said it was that. No, but I'm just saying I think that I've seen that a lot with a lot of awards. I mean, Sixth Man of the Year awards is a joke. It basically just seems to go to the highest scoring guy off of the bench. I mean,
we'll discuss this another day, but you can make – I think Joe Ingles should have won that award.
I still think Clarkson was better, even though he did. But, I mean, Ingles wasn't as
like,
great as –
okay, I'll just say
we can get that – we can move on to that, I mean, for the next one.
Yeah.
You are right. We do have to get through with the Hawks.
Trae Young's villain character arc. Why do – okay. What is the deal with this villain character arc? Because ESPN and like all these are like Trae Young, like the villain, like Trae Young's like in his like villain form, like he's Dr. Doom.
I mean, I don't see him as a villain. I don't really like him just because
everyone
I don't
was
like
so
his play style.
I just see him as a cocky kid who's like really, really good at basketball, and that makes me really, 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 really upset because he's really cocky, but like he can back it up.
Well, yeah,
he's no, that's a true,
NBA
but
player. Of course he's good at basketball.
Of course
they're
going to back it
up. Like Tyler Hero couldn't back it up this year. Trey Young. Yeah,
you're very right. I'm always in for Tyler Hero slander.
But, I mean, not just Trey Young, though. The entire Hawks team played amazing this series. I mean, all their young guys pretty much stepped up. They were all just playing well. Capella was well. I mean, Bogdanovich played great.
The Hawks went from a really, really shaky, you know, first couple games where, like, John Collins was potentially on the out. There was chemistry issues brewing to, like, someone that I honestly
– I mean, this playoffs, John Collins has played himself out of a big contract, I feel.
Yeah.
And it depends on what he does in these next couple of series. But, yeah, I don't think he's going
to
get the one that he wants.
Declined to trade for him for – like Larsa Pippen's new boo, Malik Beasley. Dude, Malik Beasley and like a future first round pick for John Collins. Like, what? That's neither here nor there. I'm not going to go into a Steve sized rant about my issues with the Timberwolves front office because they are.
I think that deserves a
I think everybody has an issue with the Timberwolves front office.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame that Karl Anthony Towns is in that position.
It's a shame that he doesn't want to leave.
You're right.
Okay, so we're gonna go next. Jazz versus Grizzlies.
Nobody really cared about this.
I didn't care about this.
I think that the most people were looking for out of Memphis was maybe trying to steal a win and just Ja Morant being good. And
the
most of those
make Rudy
for,
Gobert look
both
stupid.
Of those
I was looking for Gobert slander.
He played pretty well.
Yeah,
but he played well.
Yeah, Gobert played.
I mean, he played pretty
really well.
I mean, I think the most thing. I mean, Ja Morant, I don't know what he has against Gobert.
Oh, he's
he clearly has something.
He has tried to absolutely.
He tried to murder Gobert every single game.
To watch.
Yeah, I mean, every single game he tried to murder Gobert.
Also, Jonas Valanciunas, also known as my mom, is that guy who really complains a lot. Incredibly underrated.
Yeah, I don't think many people, and this is even going back to his Toronto days, like Valanciunas, I mean, it never seems like he does great in games, but then you look at what he does, and I mean, like, he doesn't look great. He doesn't seem like he ever does as much as what shows up on
he
the
He can go off for like 17.
I mean,
and
you can see
night.
He has a huge impact on the games, but
yeah.
It just never seems
I
like,
mean, sometimes
like,
he looks like the best player
yeah,
on the court.
You look at what he does, and you're like, oh wow, it doesn't seem like, you know, not that he didn't have any impact,
no,
but you just don't understand the sheer volume of impact
because,
that
like,
he has on the games.
He is known to almost foul out of every game and very like expressive, very animated. But he is good. That Grizzlies team, it's so weird. People, because, like, Ja Morant, like, it was always, like, he's in Zion's shadow. Like, this is neither here nor there, but, like, as good as Zion is, it's almost like now it's kind of like the roles are reversed.
I think some of
that's
just because of Ja being in the – I think it's true. I mean, because Zion's stuck on the Pelicans right now. And,
yeah.
I mean,
that's
not that they don't have a direction, but just the way they were playing wasn't as great. I mean, Memphis certainly took
Willie
took
Hernan
a leap
Gomez
in a,
is the future.
In a very tough Western Conference, they definitely took a leap. Were able to make the playoffs, steal a game, you know, in Utah.
I think that's also because of coaching. I mean, Stan Van Gundy was an absolute failure.
I think everybody kind of knew that. Yeah, I don't know what everybody knew.
What were they thinking? I mean, maybe he brings some sort of, like, defensive identity, which they didn't bring in.
Maybe, and they didn't have any of that. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if maybe those guys just – I mean, they just didn't want to play for Stan, but it certainly seems like it. Dylan Brooks is both – I mean
– Michael Jordan and, like, not.
I wrote
– I mean, his play style is insane. I mean, the way he plays on defense, like –
He definitely proved.
He's like a goon for basketball.
Well, I wrote here. Dylan Brooks thinks he's Michael Jordan, and it is Memphis's biggest strength and weakness at the same time.
Yeah,
and that is very true.
No, it definitely is because, like, when he's on, he is that kind of confidence. Like when he's on, like you can trust him with the ball in his hands. But when he gets down, it's a lot of like just small mental errors that like culminate into like. Three turnovers and two fouls in like a minute.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's here nor there. But
also, I saw, I think a lot, I don't know if how many people were truly wondering it, but it was nice to see, you know, Conley finally has a true return to Memphis.
It was.
Yeah, they still love him. I mean, they still love him.
They shouldn't do anything but love him.
Yeah.
Like, even Marc Gasol.
rightfully so. And it's just nice to see. I mean, he played well in those two games in Memphis, and, you know, they were still kind of cheering for him, you know, because he's just their guy.
Oh, they love him there.
Which was nice to see.
And rightfully so. He's deserved
it. Yeah. He's one of the best players in that franchise, and it's just nice to see him get that respect from them still.
So, moving on to Nuggets Blazers.
Quasi-Blazers fan.
As much, but quasi-Blazers fan Garz. Okay. An injured Zach Collins interactions were the most interesting part about this series. So, okay. Let me explain. Because, no, I need to explain, to get it off my chest. Okay. As a rim-running, semi-mobile, lumbering big man who likes to act like a prima donna on the court sometimes, Zach Collins is my idol.
Kareem Abdul, Zach Collins.
I don't even know why. I don't want to sound like he plays the game with
Kareem. Hey, what's your high school basketball jersey number?
33.
Why?
Zach Collins.
There you go.
But no, dude. The Blazers really need him back, and he gets so much crap. But he's just – and this series showed it more. He's just such a great hard-nosed defender. Watch the 2019 – I think it was 2019 Warriors game where he single-handedly dismantled the entire Warriors roster and Steve Kerr. Needless, he brings a defensive presence that was clearly lacking.
Is he the reason the Warriors didn't make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Okay.
And also his interaction with Jamal Murray and the fans were amazing. They gave me life. His fits, undeniably
G-Easy.
Dude, little G-Easy, bro. Oh my god! But trust me, I've literally been a fan of him since Gonzaga. Since that run he made with Gonzaga.
Loyalty rating 100 over here.
Dude, I've been with Big Z. I hope he can, you know, come back and prove all the haters wrong. And I kind of want to get into that because holy crap. Can Nurkic play defense?
Yes. James, he was the only defensive presence for the Blazers.
That last game, he would sit there and just watch Jokic, just like tear.
Do you know
up.
That the, okay. in that last game, Kanter and Kanter Jefferson had both had over 170 defensive rating in them.
Those Kanter and Hollis Jefferson.
Nurkic went to the bench with an 11-point lead or something.
Nurkic
and
just
they
looks
lost
so
it
bad.
By the time he came back.
No, Nurkic is far from the reason the Blazers lost the series.
No, the reason that the Blazers lost is because let's face it, they're not that good of a team. Like, they're not a great team. They have Dame Lillard trying to carry them all the
time. They need to blow it up. And they
definitely do.
They need to blow it up, except for Dame, Zach Collins.
That's it. Just everyone except Zach Collins.
I mean,
they've already started by firing.
I mean, McCollum was terrible in this series. I mean, he put up numbers, but his efficiency wasn't there.
He was getting
outplayed by Porter Jr. and other guys, and that shouldn't happen. I mean, he's not necessarily seen as a superstar, but certainly as an all-star.
I've never viewed him as like a second option, though.
I have.
That's the problem.
He is.
The problem with that is that they've been playing this two small guard lineup for so long, and that's been the death of them. They don't.
You need
their
a good
wings
big.
Have been lacking for so long.
You need a good big.
Nurkic has been Nurkic has been a serviceable big guy. He's done everything they've asked of him.
Have so much talent.
Nurkic has been pretty good for them. The problem is that they don't have any wings.
I don't think Nurkic. I don't. It's just he lumbers. It's like the lazy he doesn't want to go inside. It's the lazy passes around the perimeter that cause for easy turnovers.
I don't know what you mean by he doesn't want to go inside. He only took five threes. He only took five threes in the whole series.
No, I mean like from a standpoint when they're running their offense, like really running it through, it's a lot of handoffs off the dribble.
I mean that's not so much on him as it is on Stotts. As in his play style.
Stotts runs the most predictable offense.
I mean, if they're going to be running through Dame the whole game.
As much crap as I'll give Nurkic, Terry Stotts definitely was
the
main
issue. They have plenty of versatile offensive talent on the team.
No, they do, because Nurkic is a really good offensive big. I don't think his defense is that consistent enough. Like, listen, there's a reason that the Nuggets traded him and kept Jokic.
They're going to regret trading Gary Trent.
Listen, James, of guys that got over 10 minutes of playing time, Nurkic had the best defensive rating in the series of any Blazers player.
I know.
The only guy who even came close was Covington, and he's also a guy who's pretty known for defense.
Covington's an all-NBA defensive level player.
Yeah. Covington also heavily struggled offensively this year.
Yes.
I know that from my fantasy team.
No, I think the biggest problem is with both – one, with Stotts, and two, they're just not built like a great team. They rely way too much on Dame. And as much as he can do for them, I mean, he dragged them to a few wins in this series. He can't do – he needs help. I mean,
when Dame's on, he's the most fun player to watch.
He is, yeah. CJ's not going to get it done for them as their second option. They need a wing. I mean, Norman Powell was great for them, but as much as I love Norman, I think he's a great player. I think everything he does is great, but – I think they just need something more. They're just missing like that big wing. I mean,
they're getting a lot of good role playing pieces, but they're not getting just like that second guy.
Yeah, they're not getting a true second guy. I mean, CJ's been.
CJ could be that guy. I don't believe in CJ.
I don't think so anyway. I mean, they've kind of held on to him for too long. I mean, I just don't think that. I mean, by now, are they ever going to get it done with CJ? I don't think so.
No, I think CJ should stay in Portland, but I don't think he should.
But they're never
going
to get any other. They're not going to get anybody else. Yeah. They would have to.
They're going
to
have Love.
No. Would Kevin Love solve the problem? I don't think so.
No, he won't.
I mean, they have to make a big move if they want to.
I think we should talk about Denver because they deserve more credit. I think Austin Rivers deserves more credit. Michael Porter Jr. was absurd in game six.
I mean, the thing with Denver is that's amazing to watch is Jamal Murray goes out and they haven't missed a step at all. They've looked almost even better.
That's why Jokic is the MVP.
Especially Campazzo stepping up.
Coming from
I mean,
extremely biased Sixers fan Jake, Jokic is the clear-cut MVP.
I don't know how Jokic is able to do all this. I mean, he's just amazing. And there are just passes he makes. You're like, how did he do that? There are shots he takes that go right through, and you're like, how did that shot go in?
Amazing, especially
for Denver, is amazing.
Amazing, especially since it looks like he's never been to an NBA conditioning in his life.
Well, that's for sure.
That game five, the passes he made to close out that game in double
overtime. Oh, my Lord. Amazing.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Like, undescribable.
Undescribable. But, yeah. So, now, the big kahuna. Suns versus Lakers.
This will make me a bit uncomfortable because everyone knows I'm a closeted bronzexual.
Listen, let's talk about the character arc that was Frank Kaminsky going from no minutes game one to like 4 minutes a game, game twos, three, and four. Dario Saric got moves out of the rotation. He literally goes off.
Yeah.
I'm saying slightly. In game seven. Like,
Game 7?
Or Game 6, sorry. He played.
Yeah, he did.
Dude.
Forgiven.
3 blocks. Like, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. I think 2 points.
You don't think this would be great.
Dude, he was playing good defense. He was racking up his assists. And I'm just a fan of slow, lumbering big men.
We know Ball.
Who get rotational minutes.
If that isn't abundantly obvious already.
Listen, I've been on the Frank Kaminsky hype train since the Hornets.
Now let's get into Jay Crowder, apparently a LeBron stopper.
LeBron stopper.
I heard this also on the No Dunks podcast, and frankly, I think it's true, is that was Jay Crowder almost like baiting LeBron? Like, did he make it seem like nothing could happen and then boom, he just shuts it down and is amazing?
I could buy it.
It kind of seems like it. And the other thing is, was Chris Paul, I mean, obviously his injury definitely affected him, but like, I don't want to say he was faking anything, but
he was just amazing in the second half
of the
dude was crying in game five, and I don't blame him.
I mean, I'm very clearly joking with that. It's obvious that he's hurt. I mean, it's very clear.
Also, you shouldn't have to be able to point that out. My favorite quote: Drummond is consistent, bro. I swear, always has been.
Let's have Steve go on a second tangent right here.
Steve, what are your views on Drummond turning from Lakers starter to not even seeing the floor?
DNP in game six.
DNP in game six.
I think the big thing is that I don't know how to put this. There's a lot of things that can be
He's
said.
He's not consistent.
I think the big problem, though, is that people just look at him and say that he's shit. I mean, I've seen that from many people, many respected people on Twitter and in the media. Like, and they just say, oh, he's lazy, he doesn't play defense. And, like, they're, like, blaming losses on him as if, you know, in game one, Anthony Davis wasn't terrible. I mean, Drummond did his job for them. And I think the problem that people have instilled in them is that, you know, when he was in Detroit, he was their number one, you know, except for when Blake Griffin there was there, he wasn't. But
19,
for the rest of the time, he was basically their number one option. And Pistons fans knew it at the time. Everybody knew it at the time. It was like, listen, he's not a number one. He's never going to be a number one. But people look at the stats he put up there. First off, they say it's all empty stats. And, I mean, I'm not a huge believer in empty stats. I think every stat has a meaning. I think that, I mean, him being able to put up that was pretty great on what he was able to do. Yeah. But,
Same with Cat.
And I think the thing is that, you know, you're like, oh, he's not willing to take a back seat. Well, he very clearly was. I mean, with the Lakers, he's very clearly willing to.
He racked a DNP.
Yeah, I mean, he
didn't say boo.
No, he was fine with them. I mean,
you're taking a minimum contract to be on a team with LeBron.
And there were certainly times, yeah, sure, he might get carried away, you know, with a possession where he tries to dribble too much. Okay. But why should that be held against him as his whole entire play style? I mean, Drummond was finally able to play as just a rim running center that doesn't
have to
do anything.
I feel like people have weird expectations for him.
I think they do. I think the problem that they have is they expect him to be a third or fourth option to put up the same numbers.
But he's not.
And if he's not doing that,
I think people expected something from him because of the buyouts the Nets made with Griffin and all.
Yeah. Maybe, but even then, Blake's been putting up, you know, far less production, and he's been getting praise from Brooklyn. So what's the deal with Drummond here? I mean, the advanced numbers were backing.
You're very right about Blake there.
I mean, that's frankly what's true. I mean, Blake's getting a lot of praise for what he's doing in Brooklyn, and maybe the reasoning behind that is that
other players
from
Brooklyn
reason,
have been doing much better than Blake, like Claxton and Mike James.
Oh, they've been way better players. They've been doing better stuff than Blake. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what – I think it's partly an expectations thing. It must be. I mean, guys like –
hold on.
I mean, Drummond is still fine. All the advanced numbers are backing up. I mean, he had above-average PR, above-average win shares. I mean, his offensive plus-minus stuff was really the only bad thing. He was fine defensively for them.
I think Drummond's really good.
I don't know what they're – and, I mean, I think it's finally nice to see him taking, you know, a third or fourth role and being able to do that. You know, and playing with a guy like LeBron is certainly different than having to be with Reggie Jackson as your primary ball handler.
It's definitely.
I mean, Schroeder, I kind of think, is Reggie Jackson 2.0. So having him as a true point guard, is it? But, I mean, LeBron, we all know, is the main ball handler. And it seems like some of the stuff
Can we talk about, by the way, all-time dumbass move, Dennis Schroeder turning down $80 million.
Yeah, he's never going to see that money again. Ever.
No. Why?
Ever.
Why
he
would
played
he
himself out of a
thought he was going to get a ring.
Yeah.
God, that was
and Montrezl Harrell, dude. That's a great story arc.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
Montrezl Harrell leaving the poverty Lakers just to become the poverty Lakers.
Yeah.
The thing I also don't understand is, you know, and I love Marc Gasol. I've loved him since Memphis, but I mean. People, there were like Lakers fans, just other people acting like Marc Gasol was going to be the savior for them. Like, oh, you put Marc Gasol and he's going to be able to stretch the floor and whatever.
He does, though. He stretches the floor really well.
I mean, he did this year, but I still don't. I mean, I don't know.
Marc Gasol's an enigma for the Lakers.
I think, yeah. And I think people, what were they expecting from him?
He's an enigma anywhere he goes.
They were acting like a Marc Gasol.
The Gasol-Valanciunas trade has to be the most like equal trade in NBA history.
It is.
Back to our boy Valanciunas. Getting a lot of praise in the pilot episode of Adam Silver's Crony.
So going to a lot of praise, them Clippers.
Well, I was kind of stay
with
the
Lakers.
We kind of have to stay with this series. Because the thing about the Lakers, their just whole situation is they have LeBron and AD.
And Kuzma.
I'm not going to get into
our
the whole
boy.
Kuzma thing because I mean,
our
Kuzma's
boy.
Terrible. That's right.
Our
he was terrible.
No.
He was terrible.
What do you mean?
He was terrible.
We're going to have a Kuzma centric.
The problem with the Lakers is that, I mean, I don't want to say all of them because I mean, I think Drummond played fine. You know, I think he was all right. I don't want to say he was great because I mean, even he wasn't.
Love
None Mickey. Of the Lakers really were. But I mean, Drummond kind of did his job. Gasol played well in his minutes, but their role players just aren't. They aren't great. I mean, the big thing here is that you look at any of LeBron's teams and their shooters on them. I mean, going back to Miami, going back to Cleveland, even last year there were more. I mean, KCP was like
the primary shooter. Do you expect Caruso to be a shooter?
No, that's not what he is.
And that's the big difference.
Caruso is a guy who's gritty and plays hard.
I mean, and credit to Caruso. The first couple games, he was like really good.
Yeah,
and this kind of circles back.
But I mean, this—it's just not built. I mean, they're trying to build around LeBron, and the whole team is. I mean, I don't think that having Schroeder is a great.
This kind of circles back to like the point behind the joke I made about Frank Kaminsky is the fact that where the Lakers last year they had like, and I'm not even going to say Rajon Rondo is a role player. Because Rajon Rondo is literally one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Okay, let's
let's
put a break on that. You put Rajon Rondo on a playoff team, that team is going far.
No, you put Rajon Rondo with the team with
LeBron and Anthony Davis.
No, listen, dude. Yeah. You don't even know.
Yeah.
But anyways, so last year they had like Rajon Rondo, Caruso, all these guys that were stepping up, that were making really big plays for them. But this year that was the Suns. The Suns had these guys like Campaign, Frank Kaminsky, who were, you know, and the enigma that is Mikal Bridges.
Okay, if you hadn't watched the NBA before this series and turned on like one of these games, you would have thought Campaign was like the greatest player of all time.
I know.
I'm a big Campaign guy. I mean, I'm a huge fan of him, but I've just always liked him. Yeah, you know, I was kind of. I've always been rooting for him, is what you know.
Because
I
he's, say. You know, he's Westbrook's boy, and you want.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
succeed.
He came into the league as Westbrook's dance partner. Now he's a legitimate role player.
He went
on
from
team.
One of the worst players in the league.
Oh yeah.
To an excellent.
He went from a solid backup to one of the straight up worst players in the league. To now being a great role player on a team.
Yeah, that's the character.
To literally couldn't even make it. He couldn't even like make a roster spot on the Poverty Bulls.
Yeah. The Jim Boylan Bulls.
The Boylan Bulls.
The Boylan Boylan's Bulls. But yeah, man. So yeah, Suns Lakers. Suns looking.
They look
so
really
good.
And also, they're just clicking. They're really.
We made it 59 minutes into this podcast without saying LaMicky.
LaMicky, 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 LaMicky. No, because I whispered LaMicky and you heard it. I know you heard it.
Yeah, I know. That's what we're at 62 minutes now, and it was 59 minutes when you said
the Mickey Mouse ring and the Mickey Mouse bubble. Okay, I'm gonna stop. So moving on, Mavs Clippers. Pingus, Tingus, Tingus, Pingus. Kristaps Porzingis.
Before this series, Steve was like, why do you hate Porzingis so much? I'm like, hate him.
You guys want to go on a rant?
I think that
– let me go on a little rant here, okay? Kristaps Porzingis, what are you doing, dude?
I mean,
first off,
before
the
series,
traded.
I never saw – it wasn't ever this bad. Like, this series, he was just –
no,
I don't know
it's
what
been
he was
this
doing.
Bad, but people never saw it.
I mean, I was even saying it before the series. I said, listen, I think Porzingis is a great player, but he never plays to his strength.
And I think my disliking of Kristaps Porzingis comes from the way he left New York. Yes, it's New York. Yes,
it's James Dolan.
It's James Dolan. But I just think kind of like he kind of used that ACL injury to like sort of screw with the Knicks.
How? In what way?
I literally can't. I was talking with my dad about this literally just yesterday. But I feel like – I think it was something where he was, like, prolonging the injury, threatening to sit out more, threatening all this stuff. You can't quote me on this.
Essentially trying to pull a Kawhi. But Kawhi had legitimate reason. I mean, I don't want to say Porzingis had legitimate reason either. But I think that Kawhi's reasoning was –
and I think it was just from the standpoint where Porzingis came to New York and he was really, really promising. And to his credit, he took a lot of that, like – Michael Rapaport, Tingus Pingus, like a lot of that slander, and he was starting to turn it around. And Knicks fans gave him nothing but love. And I just think just the way he kind of backhandedly kind of disregarded the whole organization.
Bonafide all NBA player before his ACL injury. He was
exactly
so fun to watch.
And then and now, like just today, at the time we're recording this podcast, this Monday, he it's like the same song and dance. He talks about, oh, well, I don't want to be a second string to Luka. And then I guarantee you there's going to be a trade demand. And then after there's a trade demand, it's just going to be down like the same road.
He thinks he's a shooting guard. You're 7'3", and it's so frustrating to watch because he's so skilled in the
post. I mean, he's like the dude perfect.
Get in the post.
He's the dude perfect stereotype with tall guy that only shoots threes.
And he's so skilled.
He's so skilled inside.
He is.
It's beautiful to watch him work.
You remember that he does. That game winner his rookie year at MSG when he hit that? It was like that fadeaway three bank at the buzzer, that game winner.
Yeah.
Dude, awesome. He has such skill, but it's like, dude, if you can't post up a big being like 7'3", what are you
doing? And I don't know how much of that is Rick Carlisle. I can't imagine.
I can't imagine much of it's Rick Carlisle.
Yeah.
But like then again, like Rick Carlisle loves his like Maxi Kleblers and like Dwight
Powell.
Yeah, Dwight Powell. I want to
Dwight
say
Powell
like
has been hurt this whole year, right? Oh, no, he came back.
Came back.
That was last year.
Dude, Maxi Kleber looking like
Kleber.
Underrated.
It's Kleber.
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 I've always said Kleber.
Maxi Kleber.
Man, so if it's not Spanish, I can't pronounce it.
It's a German thing.
Yeah, it's German. Yeah. It's not hard.
Like I can say Guillermo Hernan Gomez, but I can't say
Maxi Kleber. Coming from former German resident.
Coming from former Jake. German speaker,
yeah.
Steven.
But yeah, man. Maxi, I've always liked him.
Man. I mean, but the Clippers guys are amazing, though. I mean, Kawhi was hitting everything that he
Clippers
wanted
really
to.
Clippers really turning all the slander away from them.
Yeah, I mean, and Paul George passed on the playoff / pandemic P. He passed those tags off to Porzingis. I mean, those are basically no more.
Congratulations, Paul George.
Congrats. A few things I want to talk about is Reggie Jackson. What the hell, dude? Like, what came about here? I mean, game one, he only scored 2 points. He played limited minutes.
I know. Sometimes he was awful. And then
I have this highlight.
Wow.
In the last six games of the series, he started five. He averaged 17.7 points, 2.7 assists.
That game
and
six.
He shot 45% from the field, 42% from three. Like, he was amazing for the Clippers. I mean, I think, and I certainly don't think that this is going to help Pat Beverly.
It's the Rajon Rondo.
I mean, they
kind of
have to stick with. They have to stick with Reggie. Okay. I mean,
let's call it on the Rajon Rondo stuff.
Rajon Rondo effect. I'm telling you, man.
But Reggie was amazing for them, and I don't know what.
This would be a lot different conversation if the Clippers choked yesterday, because if they lost, a lot of the blame would be placed on how poorly their role players played
and how inconsistent.
Because you couldn't,
but even not all of them even were.
PG
I think the biggest
Kawhi.
Thing with, I mean, the biggest thing was more so Luka just going absolutely apeshit. Because that's what it was.
And I think they continue to go small. I think we'll see less and less of Zubats.
Which is a
they
shame.
Need, they really though they is. Do need Serge Ibaka to get back like.
Yeah.
The flow. I mean, I think like that injury is still hurting him.
Is anyone developing Zubats? Because
it's a shame because Zubats could be so good. He was so good in the bubble,
and he was so good on the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they traded him. That's beyond me.
I guess they knew what they were doing, didn't they? They got a title out of it.
Yeah, really.
To be fair,
and they did. Also, I see a lot of this, and a lot of people are memeing him about it, and. Once again, this is another guy I do love. He put in some great service for the Pistons. But Clippers, what are you doing with Luke Kennard? Why are you paying him that much money? Like, let's be real.
Paid him $60 million.
I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting over here, and I am happy that trade went down. I mean, I'd much rather have Sadiq Bey.
I mean,
right
Sadiq Bey is legit.
Yeah, that guy's going to be amazing. And sure, the Pistons parted with 4 second-rounders, but I think the biggest thing is that Troy Weaver kind of knows that second-rounders, not that they don't mean anything, but you can get them anytime you want. He bought second-rounders this past year. He just traded cash for second-rounders. But, like, I saw people, you know, saying, oh, wow, the Pistons got fleeced, you know, giving Luke Kennard away like that. He can pay so much money to do nothing.
He has the knees of an 80-year-old.
Oh, my God, he does. He has worse knees than my grandpa does. And I think my grandpa's had a few knee replacements or something. My grandpa's like 80-something years old.
So, overall, I'd say if there's not much we want to talk about the Clippers, Mavs, I think Clippers, they're looking really, really good.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm liking what I'm seeing.
I still
I think
like
that they're great.
The West. 100%.
I agree with you.
I think that, you know,
I don't
Mavs
like them out of the West. I like them
I think that the Mavs were a very tough matchup for anybody in these playoffs, no matter who they played.
I think the Suns are going to be too tough.
I mean, because the big problem with that was they had nobody to guard Luka, and I don't think anybody in the league can guard Luka or is going to guard Luka with the way he plays and just ways
he's already the third best player in the league.
He's up there, for sure.
In my humble opinion.
Like, and but I mean, the way that he was playing, I
who's
mean,
the first?
You saw most of the games.
What? Who's the first?
Giannis.
All right.
You saw like the games that, you know, that were being played.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of it wasn't so much like, and I hate when dads do this too. You know, when they say like, oh, you know, it's not the one team won it or the but the other team lost it. But I mean, the Clippers did everything. It seemed like they did a lot of things right in this series. I mean, they were just a lot of times it was just so Luka being crazy and what are you gonna do about it? But just play your game and hope that it all goes well.
Yeah. Let's not refer to it as the Porzingis trade anymore. Let's refer to it as the Tim Hardaway Jr.
Tim Hardaway Jr. is amazing. I've been on his train, not just from the Michigan
Tim Hardaway
days, but
Jr.
also,
so.
But in terms of the NBA, I've been on him since NBA 2K15, my GM mode, when I did a Timberwolves franchise. I traded. I don't even know who I traded for him. He was a 72 overall on the New York Knickerbockers, and he comes to my team. And within like 2 years, he's up over 90. He ends up being a 99 overall. Keep in mind, this is my GM. Like, you can't change the sliders in those. At least you can, at least in 2K15, you can.
Tim Hardaway
like,
Jr.
There were
out
no
the
slider
mud.
Options to change. It was just straight up regular progression. Even in my leagues, he did this too. And he went to a 99. I won, it was like 13 straight titles.
On the Timberwolves.
Because the progression was, the progression system was insane. Like, there was nothing I did special. I just got a few guys that were good, and they ended up being 99s because the progression was insane in that game. But, I mean, ever since that, I've been like, oh, man, you know, I already like Tim Hardaway Jr. because he went to Michigan. But I also like, you know, because I think he could be really great. He's doing amazing
Lamar
for the Mavericks.
Stevens.
I mean, I think that
Tim Hardaway Jr. trade.
Yeah,
it is the Tim Hardaway Jr. trade.
Okay, so before we end this podcast, it says here that Steve has a surprise for me.
I forgot it. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, we'll save it for episode
kind of,
two.
We can save it for a different time. I was in a little bit of.
Can you say what it is?
I don't wanna.
Yeah, it's still.
Is it at my expense?
Surprise.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
Is
no,
it at my expense?
No, you'll be fine. It's simple. It's nothing much. It's just a small little token. Of appreciation, you could say.
Right. He's going to flash
I
you.
I don't want to.
I was going to say, please make it that.
Sorry, not this time. Not
okay.
yet.
Okay,
not
but
yet.
So overall, I'd say one of the more interesting like storyline-driven playoffs, not quite predictable.
I think that, yeah, that's what I kind of like. And I think it's weird. I mean, for the past couple
it's a
of
weird
years,
playoff.
I mean, I'm not going to say like the bubble because, you know, that was a weird situation altogether. But like before then, you know, it was always, you'd always see like LeBron going deep. You know, the Warriors were in it deep.
Yeah.
Houston was always in it deep. I mean, they were always in there. There's a lot of these teams that you're not seeing anymore. I think
of all the teams left of the winners, the most recent champion was the Sixers. They won in 83.
Yeah, I saw that. And I think that's great for the league.
Yeah.
Either
yeah.
teams
oh,
that haven't won it.
And I think we're definitely starting to see that younger generation
like,
kind of
no
step
team
up.
Has won since the playoffs expanded, which I
yeah.
think is great to see.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody right now knows who could come out of this. I mean,
yeah.
anybody could.
This is the first time where I've genuinely been like, I don't really know.
No, I don't know either. You can't really predict it as much as you want to say, oh, you know.
Like even in
like,
the bubble,
think,
you knew the Lakers
I think
were going
to win. I mean, I think that the Nets will win. I don't know who's coming out of the West. I'm not even going to try and predict it.
I think
the
Nets are
going
to win.
And you can make a very good case that the Sixers and the Bucks could beat them.
You can make any – yeah, you don't know who's going to win. You say, oh, wow, you know, Nets
at least like
bad games. Giannis is great. Oh, they could
– We went –
The
four
Bucks
or five
quicker.
Years,
Embiid
the NBA was so predictable.
Yeah. Embiid can go thermonuclear and carry them against anybody. I mean,
Kawhi
anybody
Leonard
out of the
single-handedly
West,
saved
what's
the league.
Happen out of the West. All these teams are amazing. The Jazz are a great three-point shooting team, a great defensive team. I mean, the Suns are just doing everything right now. Jokic is the MVP. He's playing out of his mind, and
no,
the Nuggets are still playing the same way, even without their starting point guard. And the Clippers are a great, talented team that just came off of a 7-game series. And in a comeback, they have momentum. Their two stars are playing well. Some of their role players have picked it up. I don't know what's going to happen in these playoffs. I think that's great. I like to see that. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, like I said, I brought it up like 30 seconds ago, but we went 4 or 5 years where the NBA was so predictable. Everyone
yeah.
was like, oh, it's going to be Cavs Warriors.
Yeah, I was saying, I mean.
And now that you don't know what's going to happen, you still have people complaining about it. Like, have fun with their ratings.
I think it's
like,
fun.
Oh,
I mean,
shut up.
No, the ratings. I think the ratings are great. I mean, people too much stock in ratings about stuff. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that people don't want to pay for cable anymore. That's all.
Yeah, like streaming services and all that.
I saw like things where if you take into account the streaming, like the ratings actually are still good.
Like I know for this playoffs, there's like maybe two games. And I think they were both Suns games 5 and game 6, or game 4 and game 6, that I watched on TV. The rest of it I was just streaming on my phone.
Yeah. But I think you're right, though, is that, you know, over the past couple of years, that's the weird part, though, about the playoffs, is you're not seeing those familiar teams. You would always know the Warriors were going to make a run. The Rockets were always going to be challenging. You know, the Raptors were always in the East.
They were now the Rockets are a bottom seed team.
Unless they were playing LeBron. I mean, the Celtics, you know, up until this year were like, you know, always supposed to be considered a contender, I guess you could put it. And you're just not seeing those teams anymore. LeBron's out. The Warriors didn't make it in. The Rockets didn't make it. The Celtics were out really early.
None of the teams in the conference finals were there except Denver. And Denver wasn't really even expected to.
Yeah, because everybody thought it would have been the Clippers.
Or
beat
Utah.
The conference finals last year. And Utah.
Utah wasn't expected to be the number one seed.
Yeah. Who could have thought that?
I think that this is a very interesting year. I mean,
and even like New York and like Atlanta, like they weren't expected to do as good as they have.
Oh, seeing MSG pumping was incredible. I think everyone feels that way.
I think it was great. It was great.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why everyone wanted – I think that's why everyone was mad at Trae Young. I mean, everyone just wanted to see the Knicks
because they wanted
and
to
I
see
think the thing with MSG is that a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the Knicks can win because they have MSG. It's going to be amazing. But it almost worked against them in that it got the Hawks so fired up. And once Trae was playing well and the rest of the Hawks, I mean, they kind of fed off of that energy.
Yeah.
And I think that the Knicks part, the problem with the Knicks was, and it goes with a lot of young teams in general, it's just, you know, especially when you're the higher seed and you're playing those games at home. I mean, playing those games at home, you get more nervous. You're expected to, you know, you're expected to win at home and you have
to live
up to
your
things.
I think the Knicks fans shouldn't worry. Knicks fans shouldn't worry.
I think there's a few more things that they have to get right. I mean, I don't think that their team's
– Oh, no, yeah.
I don't know if they're ready to be up with the contenders, but I think a few more moves, they could be solid for sure.
They remind me of the Nets before they
– Yeah.
In a way, yeah.
The Nets with D-Lo.
They kind of have that – I mean, I don't know how much of this is going to be banking off of the Knicks having to try and go out and sign somebody big and lure them to New York. But I think that this – the thing, though, is that – I think that the biggest thing that this did for the Knicks was not just development of their players or getting good or being in a position to win, but it actually puts them – it truly does put them back on the map. I mean, before you see all the Knicks saying, oh, we're going to get, you know, Durant, we're going to get Kyrie,
whoever.
Which is
fantastic.
And I think that this actually puts them back, oh, this might be a destination.
And the way
they
did
it,
too.
Yeah, they did it naturally. I mean, this is all guys they brought in via trade or, like, on their own. I mean, there was nobody big that they went outside. This was all them developing their own.
And
their
biggest signing was Julius Randle.
Yeah. I mean, Randle played amazing. They actually got a few good draft picks.
They got
Derrick
Rose.
Even some of the guys
Derrick
they had
Rose
was, like, you know, Neal Aquino was actually playing minutes down the stretch.
They established an identity.
Yeah, they got some – they finally know what they're doing. They can build off of it. And I think now you'll start seeing guys that can say, oh, look, you know, New York – they're building something. I want
to
be
great.
A part of that. I want to be a part of that.
And when the New York Knicks does well, it's great for the NBA because New York a lot of money
clearly
for the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. As much as fun as it is to have been just memeing on the Knicks for how many years now,
it was so much fun. But
nice.
Now we have to like them.
I mean, I can relate a great deal with the Knicks, you know, because I'm a Pirates fan. They were terrible for 21 years straight. And it's nice to see teams be able to do that now, you know.
Yeah.
And especially the way they did it, you know, they didn't bring a bunch of guys in. This
much like
them.
Brooklyn.
This wasn't them. Yeah.
Man, I love that Brooklyn team with D'Lo, Jared Allen.
Oh, that was such a fun team.
That team was iconic.
That was a great team.
Even though they got into some beef with my Sixers, that team was iconic.
Because Jared Dudley was starting fights with the Sixers.
Yes.
Like, come on.
But
you
love to
happy.
See
it was
that,
funny.
Man.
I mean, that's
it was
so.
I love
it was
seeing
fun.
It. I was
it
into
hilarious.
That series. I remember I was watching that series on my phone because I went to. That was the day they had game 3 in Detroit.
I was sitting at the mall watching
when they were playing
like,
the Bucks, and I was watching that. We got to our hotel and put it on. That was such an entertaining series.
It was.
Like, that was a great series to watch. I love that Nets team. And I mean, I don't want to say that the Nets are in a worse place, but I mean, because they're certainly in a better place. But
it would have been more fun to see
them. It was just kind of sad to see them get all broken up like that. I understand why. I mean,
yeah,
they definitely
know.
Made the right decision.
It was bittersweet.
Yeah,
it definitely helped them. But I would have loved to see.
You can't turn down having three top.
No,
I know.
You can't.
But
you
I would have just loved to see, like, in an alternate dimension where none of that happened, like what that team could have been become.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think we should transition into – we wanted to talk about the fan incidents.
I don't think we need to talk about that much. Like,
okay,
but I think it's just like wrong here.
Like, are the issues like? I guess the question is like, are they just something to? Are they something to worry about going forward? Or what I think just kind of built up anger and frustration from the pandemic kind of simmering through.
I think it's just people that want attention. I mean,
yeah. Well, you always get those.
I think it's just people that want attention. I mean,
but I think that's
they've been able to do it. And I think the biggest thing is I think the biggest thing here is that first off, there's no true repercussions. I mean,
yeah.
I think that I've seen it suggested, you know, if they want to run on, have them have to fight a guy at, you know, center court or something. Sure. Do that. Yeah. Make them have, you know, and I mean, I know they still get arrested and presumably sent to jail or whatever, but
yeah.
I mean,
and I know that there's probably things that
happened. Like, yeah, we saw an attempted murder of
like
Kyrie.
They probably lose that.
Could have been serious.
Yeah,
assault that water bottle.
Deadly weapon. I think
no.
It was a discharge weapon.
No, listen, it could have been serious.
Dangerous
because,
weapon, yeah.
Especially with those plastic water bottles. No, I'm like that. If you get like the cap, if there's like a little piece of plastic off of it and like it's sharp as hell. That goes into his eye. Bye-bye Kyrie Irving's right eye. Like,
you're right.
Like it can definitely been like it could have been serious. And I think that was probably the most serious, one of the most serious. Besides the poverty jazz fans.
Yeah.
And not all jazz fans are poverty jazz fans, but
not all Celtics fans are
poverty racists.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know
to,
but
that water bottle just speaks to how terrible and classless Celtics fans are, and Philadelphia fans would never ever do such a thing. Ever.
That's right. They would never.
And Minnesota
throw things,
fans would never do such
batteries or coins at players. They would never.
And
never.
Minnesota fans would never do such a thing because we're too busy being mad at our own.
Detroit fans would never do things like that. They would just straight up fight the players.
Yeah,
gonna,
I was
gonna
say.
They're not gonna worry about that.
It's yeah. The truth. But yeah. So I think with that said.
Yeah.
We close out this inaugural episode of the podcast.
What an episode it was.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening.
To all our fans.
Whoever that may be.
Right now, at least for this first episode, this will be up on Spotify, but really soon we'll be getting this up on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you get podcasts on. You know, like it.
I'm glad we're informing the world because we are the only
basketball podcast.
Yes.
If you don't share this with your friends,
you're never going to have any NBA related
content. Yeah. You're never going to have any NBA related content.
There's no other podcast in the world that are like this.
Referencing specific NBA podcasts
there isn't.
That we've listened to. Those are just in our imagination.
There isn't. It's just we are the only NBA podcast. And man, if you don't share us, man, you won't be sharing the only form of NBA goodness that you will have in your life.
Yeah. This is the only bit of NBA media you'll find.
Yeah. So this is the Silver's Cronies podcast signing off. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Keep on balling, people.
Keep on balling.